make a little hole and stick it in there, and
So
then
you go from the bottom so that nobody can see.
That's right. Because
whoever
gets the baby
and...
in their piece, if they don't choke and die on this little plastic toy in the food, what if a kid gets that and just up and chokes on it?
I had a coach who was paranoid and accused me of trying to kill him because he got the baby and bit off the foot or something. I was like, you chose your piece of cake.
Yeah, true.
Two, I told you there was a baby up in there somewhere.
Watch out for the plastic trinket
in
your cake.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting, home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome again to Designer Cornbread, episode 26. Our poor beloved Cornbread has got a bellyache.
Here I am.
But she's here.
I'm here.
She's
here for
y'all.
You people.
She is
all
here.
Three of you.
All three and a half of you. She's here. No, seriously. So we're recording on Tuesday because Cornbread was out, down
was
and out,
out
yesterday.
And I was
so
bad yesterday.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yep.
So she's making it a little better, but ay, ay, ay.
I'm not real active today.
She's not
I may
active.
Not have a lot to, it may be the Holly show today.
Well, again, just sort of respond and say, and sort of chuckle
okay.
a little. And
yeah. we made king cakes today in culinary. We did.
Oh my goodness.
We did.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah, well, we're recording on Fat Tuesday, so we had all the Mardi Gras out. And
nice.
We did king cakes.
I was going to ask you all about Mardi Gras and Ash Wednesday and all the stuff that you do, but tell us about your class. So did they know what they are? I mean, they know what they are.
They do. Well, I explained Friday why we were doing it and what it was and, you know, went through Lent and, you know, I said, so Fat Tuesday basically is the day you get your sinning out.
party.
Sounds just so ridiculous.
I know,
right? But
get all your sinning out.
But this is a traditional food of Mardi Gras. This is, everybody has the king cake. And you know, the baby represents Jesus. And I'm not going to pretend to understand it, but I just do it.
I'm not
because
either,
it's culinary. And
I don't get that little baby
they
up
did,
in there.
So king cake is not my favorite.
Me either. I don't care for it. Hot take.
Mine is good.
Tell me what you do, because the ones I've had,
all
my Louisiana, they taste like bread. They taste like a dry bread donut.
Dry.
And it's like a donut with a ton of colored food coloring icing, which I don't love.
Sweet. Yeah.
And all our Louisiana relatives are rolling in their grave. I hope they're not hearing this.
You're going to be in trouble.
I am, but
I'm sorry. Here's what I did, because it is a dry, I mean, like if you go to your local grocery store, it's going to be dry. Now you get them in New Orleans, they're a little better.
I don't know. But the ones I had down there were still like a big donut.
So here's what I do. I roll out my dough, you know, and of course this is a 6 hour long process to do this.
Mm.
So my first period makes the dough. They don't get to see the rising. They don't do the, you know, so it's been a three-step process today.
Wow. Okay.
So once we make the dough and roll it out, one, you cut it in half. Cut your dough in half.
Okay.
And roll out one, and then we put a cinnamon butter brown sugar mixture.
Like a swirl,
you do for
cinnamon.
And roll it on the top, right. And then we roll that up, and then we kind of make it real elongated.
Like a big old snake.
So, and then on the second one, we roll it out and I put a cream cheese mixture.
Oh, now see, yours is like a delicious Cinnabon coffee cake is.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I can get behind that.
And so, and then we braid it together. I mean, or it together. It's not really, I guess, braid. You have to have three, but we kind of rope it together and then let that rise for another hour. And then we bake it. And then you put on your glaze and your sugars. And
Right. Which I get. It's the thing.
Shove your baby up in.
And you shove your... And I've got to tell you what, it's disturbing having that little baby up in there. I don't want
to... All my kids were like, are we going to bake the bait? And I said, no, you do it afterwards.
Oh, I thought you baked it up in there.
No, it was plastic.
You just make a little hole and stick it in there.
So
and then,
you go from the bottom so that nobody can see.
That's right. Because whoever gets the baby in their piece, if they don't choke and die on this little plastic toy in the food, what if a kid gets that and just up and chokes on
it? I had a coach who was paranoid and accused me of trying to kill him because he got the baby and bit off the foot or something. I was like... You chose your piece of cake.
Yeah, true.
Two, I told you there was a baby up in there somewhere.
Watch out for the plastic trinket
in
your cake.
Like, ridiculous.
Now, what does it mean again? It's something like you get good luck, or what does it mean
so,
if you get the baby?
You're blessed all year long. You're king or queen of the party.
Oh, and you get to be queen now. I can get behind it. I can be queen of the party.
Yeah, you could be queen of the party, but you have to have the party the next year.
Oh, I'm out.
Okay. Now, when I would have Fat Tuesday parties, you know, before we'd have these huge Mardi Gras parties here, mm-hmm. and I would make two cakes because I had so many guests. So one got the blessing and the, you know, king or queen of the party. The one who got the second one, they had to host the party the next year. And I'll be doggone if my kids didn't get that second one every single daggum time.
Man.
Yep, I know.
That doesn't seem fair. You should have made a separate cake that had none in it and made sure your kids got those pieces.
This one is for you.
Only take this piece. It's very special. Well, that's very cool. It's very well. St. Louis is very Mardi Gras-y. I think we're the second largest Mardi Gras parade in the country, actually. If you want to, I believe we are. Yeah, because St. Louis is a French. It's a French.
Oh yeah.
Not that we're French, but it's a Catholic and a you know St. Louis. So
heavy. French influence.
So down in Soulard and down all, there's some big, huge, crazy parade that I've never have gone to or never will. Because
I'm going to tell you what. So I did not know much about Mardi Gras other than knowing it was a thing in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Well, then I went to Mississippi State. And Mississippi State, you know, you have so many people who come up from the coast from there. So a friend of mine, we went, her grandparents lived in Passe Christiane. Her grandfather was actually like on the state Supreme Court. He was a judge on that. And so we went down just to Passe Christiane. We didn't go over to New Orleans. We went to Passe Christiane. And I'm going to tell you, I've never been so scared.
I was thankful
I was with
the
grandparents. Oh my gosh.
They are getting their sinning out. And it's
they
out.
They are, yes.
And I don't want it to be out.
Yeah. I'm not sure that they stop on Wednesday, though. I don't know. But listen, so we were down there, and they had this beautiful Annabella home, and, you know, where all the families there, their friends are there, and her grandmother fixed this huge turkey. I mean, I have never seen a turkey this big in all my life.
Wow.
Fixed this huge turkey. All the family gathers in the living room. And they're going to say the blessing. We're all in a circle. We're all holding hands. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. And that is when the Great Dane decided that turkey looked delicious.
No, he didn't.
Oh, he did.
He got a whooping.
I thought Grandma was going to kill him.
Yeah, yep. That's the last. Yep. That's like a Southern woman's extremist nightmare is having a house full of people and... No food.
And the Great Dane. I mean, he didn't even have to jump up on the table. He just walked up to
it. No, he just took his head up
and,
there and started chomping.
Yeah.
Was any of it left, or did he pretty much ruin it and rip it off the table?
It got dry.
Because if he just gets a little bit, know, you just pick it right back up and you just cut that off and keep going.
We didn't have turkey that day.
Oh, no. He got it.
Oh, it was
great. Bless him.
It was. It would not have been great had I been hosting it, but as an observer, it's a good story.
It is a good story. I was just going to say, you would have had to come apart if it happened to you, but
100%.
It is a good story. So how do we get invited back down to that beautiful home I'll go to Mardi Gras down there. Designer Cornbread could do a Mardi Gras special next year.
I'll be real honest with you, Holly. That has been 30 years ago.
Well. You know, just drop them a line.
Pretty sure that Grandma and Grandpa probably aren't still going to Mardi Gras parties.
Just say
anymore.
Hey, you know?
No,
Just was thinking of you. Oh, that's funny. What a hoot. Oh, my goodness. And then,
however, if anybody out there knows Beth Fries, you can, you know, ask her to get in touch with me because I've kind of lost contact with her.
But. Okay. Okay, Beth. Yeah, where are you, Beth? What's going on?
That's right.
All right. Cornbread needs to catch up with you. That's great. I've never done any of the, the big Mardi Gras things. But then, and then for tomorrow, of course, is Ash Wednesday. So you get all your sinning out. You go and you shake what your mama gave you on Tuesday and you eat all the cake and you try not to choke on the baby. And
I did wear my beads to school today.
Oh, you're so, even feeling sick, you still
I did. Are so I put festive. On my green sweater and my beads. And,
y'all, Cornbread is just the best. She just does it no matter what. And then tomorrow's Ash Wednesday. So then that's when you, if you're not just Catholics do it. I guess Methodists.
Protestants do. Methodists we've never do, done and, it. But. And as Presbyterians, well, we're doing it tomorrow. Actually, my preacher said, of course, this is so not me, and I feel terrible about this. But he said, if anybody wants to come, you know, drive through the church, because he's just going to stand outside between 6:30 and 7:30 and get, you know, ashes on their head, I'll be out there. And I'm thinking, I'd have to get up at,
I saw that too. I saw a sign here in town for someone to drive through. Drive through to get your ashes on your head. So that is, and those are used. I always thought this was neat when I found this out, which was really only a few years ago. Wasn't that, not too many years ago, that the ashes are supposed to be from the palm fronds from last year's Palm Sunday. So they take them and they're supposed to be, I don't know, maybe there's like an Ashes or Us store, Catholic Supply or something where you just go buy it.
The palms. They are, and
right. But that means you have to do the palms. Yeah. And I don't know that everybody does
that anymore. So 1 year I got a couple of Ash Wednesday stories here for you.
Oh, good.
One year my preacher forgot to save the palms. Was at the Methodist church. I don't think it was at ours. I think it was one that he was at previously. And so he just went out and got leaves out of the yard. And I'm not sure, but I think they were like maybe oak leaves or something that had acid in it. And everybody had like a cross burned into their
head. No. There was like a caustic, like the ashes, like lye. Because lye can be like.
Yeah. So they had like a little red after they washed
like the mark of the devil, like a red.
So. Caleb,
the mark of the beast on their heads.
Here's Caleb. Caleb's 2 years old, I guess two, three, somewhere around there. And it's Ash Wednesday. And we are going down, you know, and I go at this point, I'm at First Methodist Church and, you know, very big, elegant church, a very solemn ceremony. And we have the service and we're all going down the aisle to get the ashes on our head. And Caleb says, me not don't do this. I said, yes, you are. He said, me not don't do this. I said, yes, you are.
That should have been your warning.
And we are fighting, and I'm going to win this battle all the way down the aisle. And we get there, and the preacher looks at me like, what do I do? I pulled that little bowl cut up out of his forehead, and I looked at the preacher, and I said, just do it.
Just put it on.
And at that point, the child falls down in front of the altar and starts screaming, get it off! Get it off! It burns! It burns! And I'm sitting there looking at him like, dear God, my child is possessed. Yeah.
Get it off. This might be an exorcism.
Dragging. He would not get up off the floor. I'm like dragging him by his arm across the altar. And it was,
you have the best kid church stories. Your children are, we'll spread them out throughout the years here, but that's a classic. It burns. I mean, I know Caleb is special and he just can, you never know, but did he kind of think because ashes that maybe it was going to be fire?
Yes, all he knew was ashes. And of course we had fire pits. I mean, that's what he was around. And I'd always said, be careful of the ashes.
They're
but
hot.
Yeah, I didn't think about, yeah. Joanie. So he just knew.
Joni. He did. So he had a reasonable.
He had a reason. Again, yeah, he did.
That's one of those great examples of the stuff as parents. I remember telling Thatcher one time he was little and he had done something. He had done something wrong or bad or whatever. And I don't know what had happened, but maybe kind of pitched a fit about it. And I was talking to him at night about it. And I said something about, you know, now you can't, just because you don't want to do something doesn't mean you can, you know, have a fit about it. Like your dad at work, when he goes to work, there's stuff he doesn't want to do, but he's got to do it because if he doesn't, he's going to get fired. And I went about my business. Come to find out, I don't know how long after that, it might have been years, that he thought they were going to catch dad on fire. Like they thought, you know,
yeah,
fired. Yeah. You know, you don't realize what your kid doesn't know. Yeah, and right. He was probably 6 or 7, you know, I don't know how old he was. And I said, you know, your dad can't not do stuff because if he just not doesn't do it at work, he could get fired. And literally my poor, sweet, kind of quiet, introverted oldest.
And won't say, yeah.
Didn't say a thing about it. And, you know, years later, he's like, yeah, he might have been grown. He might have been in high school or junior. You know, he was like, yeah, I thought they were going to catch him on fire, light him on fire if he didn't do his work. I was like, oh,
well,
Lord.
Speaking of fire, let me transition. Remember when Caleb caught the yard on fire?
Which time?
No, this was, oh yeah, there was
I think there's
which
been a
time.
Couple, I feel yeah. like.
Yeah, he was just a bystander the first time. The second time, you know, he went out and started a little fire in the fire pit and mm-hmm. came in and was talking to me. Well, it had never happened before. I mean, so he didn't think twice about it, but the fire yeah. jumped out of the pit.
Sure
well,
did.
Ron Shank goes out and lights a fire and comes back in and is on his computer and doing, you know, whatever, forgets about it. And I get up and the yard is on fire again.
Joni.
He burned down my hydrangeas.
Oh,
I am not. And
not even funny.
No.
He burnt down your hydrangeas?
Yes. Yeah. He's like, they're not, it's not bad. It's not bad. Is he stomping the fire out and they're just, you know, turning to ash right there under his, I was so mad.
Maybe.
And I was so mad. And then the boys were at the Mississippi State baseball game and I said, send me a pic. And they were smarting off to me and they wouldn't do it. And then I'm already mad.
Joni.
And I was like, okay, as much as I do for y'all and you cannot take one dang selfie.
Yeah.
Because boys don't take selfies. I was mad. I said, just forget it.
My goodness. And you were
I was mad.
I know.
And I was
that
sick.
Was terrible. You
and
were not
feel
feeling good.
Good.
And they couldn't even do that. And your hydrangea is afire.
Yep.
That's, oh my goodness. You have had a rough time of it. I will say that much. Maybe the ashes from it. Maybe like, you know how like in forests it gives nutrients to the soil. Maybe your hydrangeas are going to like.
That hydrangea bush is gone.
Okay.
It's gone.
It's gone. It's gone. I would have not been.
I spent so much time fertilizing that.
You did, you know, and they were really getting pretty and bit. Yeah, you have. They take a little bit of care.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Well, lovely.
At least it missed the gardenia.
Oh gosh. Okay.
I sound like I'm 90 years old.
No. Well. If the garden.
Welcome to
hits,
the South, y'all.
That's exactly right. There ain't nothing bad about old about having beautiful plants. I need to get some plants going up in here. Well, that's awesome. I mean, you know, I've got nothing to add to our weekend. I can't remember. I sent you that one picture of Tim installing the bed cover on the pickup truck and his feet were just sticking up. At one point they were like sticking over the edge. I just look out and there's just his feet sticking
You're
up.
Transporting
his big old,
bodies.
His Keens tennis shoes are just sticking up out of the, cause he had to get up in it anyway. It made me laugh. So I sent it to you. Well, I was thinking that, since this week was President's Day, I thought I would do a little teeny bit of presidential trivia. Well, a couple little tidbits for you.
Okay.
Just so some yeah.
Do our people have to like chime in?
Who's
our
chiming
listeners,
in?
They should, our listeners
oh, yeah.
should like.
Oh, sure. Oh, absolutely. But I'm going to tell you, I mean, I'm just giving you trivia. It's not like,
okay.
I'm not,
okay.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay.
I just found some interesting facts I thought were cool. First of all, about President's Day, did you know it's not a national holiday? Do you know it's actually not a national holiday?
I did not know that.
Yeah. It's not officially a national holiday. It is a federal one, so like the federal workers.
So we used to get out of school for like Washington's birthday and Lincoln's birthday, and then they just went and mixed
them.
And
then they've combined them because it's actually Washington's birthday is what we now celebrate as President's Day, and we call it President's Day, but it never officially, the law never was enacted to actually make it a national holiday called President's Day. It's still officially Washington's birthday.
And
so
do you know, Thanksgiving is kind of the same way. Do you know they did not make that like a national holiday until, I want to say 1942 or something like that?
I think that's right.
Which I like to tell my I like to tell my mother that she's older than Thanksgiving.
You know what? That is not. That's rude. That is rude. Joni.
Well,
and you wonder
is.
Why your boys are sassy, too.
I know.
Yeah, she's older than Thanksgiving. Not the original Thanksgiving. She's not. You make her sound like, you know, she came over on the...
She's 250 years old.
She looks good. So that was kind of cool. I thought that was interesting. Then I went and I looked up just a few of, I thought, in honor of our cornbread-ness and all, a few presidents' favorite foods. So I have just a couple. So I know you probably know Ronald Reagan's.
I do.
Do you remember what his was? It wasn't really a food. It's a candy. Remember?
I don't remember that.
You don't remember?
No.
He loved Jelly Bellies. That was his favorite.
I don't know that I ever knew that.
Oh, okay. I thought because they had just come out. I mean, you know, it was kind of a new thing. And he would always have a bowl of Jelly Bellies on his desk, which I thought was really sweet.
Yeah.
And then Abe Lincoln, his favorite supposedly was chicken fricassee.
Okay.
That's pretty fancy for...
That is for that time period.
That's very fancy. But, and then JFK loved clam chowder. That's no surprise.
That's right.
Massachusetts guy, I think. And then FDR liked grilled cheese sandwiches, which that's a classic.
That is.
Like, that's a good... That's a good one.
And a good grilled cheese sandwich and a cup of tomato soup.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it's a classic.
Remember
so
that
far we're doing
tomato basil soup. Do you remember that we had at Silver Dollar City?
No, it was like a roasted red pepper gouda.
Roasted, yes.
It was
roasted red pepper and gouda.
I have never forgotten it. It's still in my brain.
I know.
It was so good. And we tried to get it every time we went there.
Yeah.
At the same little
And they never had it again at the Chuck Wagon.
We did. We tried to ask for that soup so many times. They're like, we don't have that. We're like, oh, sorry. Oh, no, I want that. Okay, so FDR was grilled cheese. So far we've done okay. We just got a couple more. William Harrison and James Garfield both loved squirrel soup.
I ain't making that.
Squirrel soup.
No.
Y'all, we're going back in the day, though, here now.
But,
now
you know, my granddaddy would talk about, of course, he grew up, you know, on Bucks Branch in Duck River.
Oh.
And yeah, I mean, we get specific. But he would talk about like all this wild food that they would eat growing up.
Well, of course, and you eat what you can eat.
Right. And he was like, yeah, don't ever fix possum. It's too greasy. And I thought, you know, Granddaddy, I feel like I'm pretty safe from that
one. I feel a lot. Yeah. I would eat it, but a lot would have to happen. Lot would have to happen.
Yeah. Well, it's greasy.
There you go. Oh, gosh. Anyway, they like squirrel. The fact that they made soup out of the squirrel, I think, is what gets me. Like, squirrel just, you know, if you have to eat the meat.
People here talk about squirrel dumplings and all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
I guess so. I guess you just make stuff out of it to make it
better. You can. Just can't get past that it looks like a rat.
I know.
They're tree rats.
I know. And they're everywhere here. So I do want to, I need to do something to get them out of my plants. And then the last one that I just happened to notice is the worst one of all, I think. And it's Richard Nixon, bless his heart. He loved cottage cheese with ketchup.
Ooh, ketchup. Now I'm okay with cottage cheese.
I love cottage cheese.
Yeah.
But with ketchup.
Ketchup. No,
I mean, what is happening?
You know what? Ooh. Really, think about lasagna. You've got a little ricotta cheese,
Joni,
and a little tomato sauce. I don't know. I'm just saying, maybe.
But ketchup.
I don't know. Maybe it's poor man's lasagna. I don't know.
I don't even know. But Richard Nixon, you get the big
fat boo. Jimmy Carter? Did he love peanuts?
I didn't.
Poor Jimmy Carter. He's in hospice.
I was going to say, he's almost done, isn't he?
Yeah.
I can't remember what his favorite was, but I feel like I read it. But now I can't remember.
I've got one. So, speaking of all that food, which president got stuck in the bathtub because he was too fat?
Oh, Taft. Is that right?
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yep.
That's right.
That's my favorite little piece of trivia.
Didn't they have to bury him in like a piano case or something?
Yeah.
Something, because he was like very,
very big.
He was
a big old boy.
He was. Oh, gosh.
Let's see. President Carter.
Yeah, I can't remember. I felt like I read it, but... I read a few, and then I decided just to kind of pick and choose a little bit.
Squirrel soup. No, let's see. Oh, I don't. Let's see.
I mean, they had like Bill Clinton's was like McDonald's. I'm like, well, that's kind of generic. Same with Trump. I think his was like McDonald's meal or something. I'm like, well, that's generic. And Obama, they one you thing know, I read was like broccoli. I'm like, broccoli, your favorite food.
Can that even be, you know, is that true? Or are they just trying to?
I guess if you like it. No, you know, I guess if you do,
but are they trying to identify with people? I'll be honest with you.
I can 100% see Bill Clinton going through a drive-thru. Let's be honest. In Arkansas, growing up, he 100%. Trump is a little more odd, but good old Clinton.
Okay, Jimmy Carter loves goat cheese grits.
Oh, Jimmy. That sounds great.
It does.
Goat cheese grits. That's delicious. Okay.
Yep.
There you go.
Well, let me transition to that because I made the mistake of making garlic cheese grits the other day for a potluck at church. And now I'm stuck making it for every men's breakfast once a month.
Well, is it kind of easy to do? Thankfully, is it a little bit simple or is it kind of complex?
I mean, it's not difficult, but it's just.
Because if you get them to love just something real easy, that's always.
They eat early on Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah. Like. Well, you could get it all ready and then just have Ron stick it in the oven or something. I don't know how it, on the pan or whatever you do.
May take it Friday night, stick it in the refrigerator and say, okay, men.
There you go.
Cook it for an hour.
Yep. That's what I would endorse. Absolutely. Excellent. Let's see. What else do I have here? Oh, this is a neat fact that I think is interesting. Are you texting me? You better not be texting me again.
No, I didn't text you.
Oh, it's Avery. Hi, precious peanut.
Look at you blaming me for stuff I don't do again.
Last time it was you. My thing was dinging and then you're laughing and I'm like, that's you, isn't it? And you're like, yeah. Okay, so this is just an interesting tidbit that I actually learned when I read this book that's going to be in one of my book recommendations in a minute.
Oh, okay.
So John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, who of course are our second and third presidents, I believe.
Adams that's
was
correct.
Second. I think Jefferson was next. Kind of an interesting relationship. First of all, they were really kind of bitter rivals. They did not get along for a while. And then they kind of did. So they just had this kind of contentious relationship for a long time. And they're obviously some of the founding fathers that did the Declaration and all that stuff and the Revolutionary War. So anyway, it's interesting, though, that they died on the same day, about 5 hours apart. And it was 4th of July, July 4th, 1826. Which was also the 50th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, and they both died that day.
How about that?
Isn't that fascinating?
That is.
Jefferson was a few years younger, but his health wasn't as good. But the interesting point, too, of course, they're far apart. Jefferson's at Monticello, and John Adams is at his farm in Quincy, Massachusetts. And they both passed away about within 5 hours. And John Adams' last words, though, literally his last whispered words were, Thomas Jefferson survives. Because he thought, I'm dying, but like, you know, Jefferson survives, so that's good. And he didn't know that he was passing away. Isn't that ironic? Mm-hmm. I think that kind of gives me chills. I'm like, who knew they were both going to die? Did Washington have wooden teeth? We're going to answer this. No, I was going to say,
he did not.
He did not. We were always told that growing up, that he had wooden teeth up in it. And I always worried about splinters. I was always like, that can't be good. Like, I know they'd be smooth, but I'm like, that can't be good. Why would you have wooden teeth?
Yeah.
He did not have wooden teeth.
He did not chop down the cherry tree either, did he?
No.
That was a myth as well.
I cannot tell a lie, all that business. Not true.
I still drank cheer wine yesterday.
What?
I still drank a cheer wine yesterday. And had some cherries.
Because I couldn't eat much.
That was all you did.
You didn't do cottage cheese and ketchup in honor of the presidents.
Ron grilled hamburgers or something. I don't know. I did not eat squirrel soup. I did not.
Can you even imagine?
No.
That would just put you over the edge. So apparently Washington's dentures were made from ivory that were wired into his remaining teeth. And by the time he was inaugurated president in 1789, he only had one real tooth up in his head. And the dentist I have a little paper here, and I'll link to what this little article, because it's kind of cool. It's from Mount Vernon, and they've got all kinds of cool stuff. But this dentist was like, hang on, where was that? He didn't want to take out that one little tooth, but he made a set of dentures carved out of hippopotamus ivory, and he employed gold wire springs and brass screws holding human teeth. So he even left a hole in the dentures to accommodate Washington's single little tooth that he had left up in his head. Can you imagine? Because he didn't feel like you should take it out if you didn't.
That would kind of be painful.
It actually goes on to say that his dentures gave him quite a bit of pain.
This
whole time, and kind of disfigured his face a little bit because it, you know, wasn't the best.
Yeah.
But they said that they were ivory and human.
Human teeth.
Which gives me the heebie-jeebies.
I'm not for that.
I know. I would rather have it.
I don't know. If you need teeth.
I guess you got to have teeth, man. Yeah. What do you do? Eat squirrel soup. You don't have to have no teeth. You just suck it down.
Depends on if they have the woofing.
The what? The woofing.
Never mind. Just move right along.
Okay. I'm going to move right along.
It's a worm. You can't eat them at certain times because they get like a worm or something.
How do you even? Okay.
I don't know. Don't ask me why I know that. But yeah, move right along.
That's okay, it. I had to fix my thing. That's very disturbing.
The woofing.
Okay. Oh, gosh. What?
All I know is that it was a discussion at a Thanksgiving table that I was sitting at one point in my life.
Is this the thing you weren't supposed to tell about Ron and...
No. No. Okay. Oh, no. No.
Okay, because you said something about squirrels and... Okay.
Yeah. No. No, right. No.
So you all were discussing at your Thanksgiving table at some point the finer points of... The squirrel.
We had some
culinary guests.
Let me just say we had some guests.
Oh, never mind. Got it. Moving on.
Yeah.
Anyway. Why couldn't I be there? Why couldn't I be there? I would have given a lot. So that's all I have. That's my little tiny little presidential trivia. I just thought there was sort of interesting facts as we celebrate our presidents this week. This comes out, of course, hopefully on Thursday. I should be able to get it edited quickly.
Yeah, so Thursday will be, my fault.
Maybe. It's fine. It'll get done.
Because, well.
If it doesn't, the end of the world, it might just be later that day, but I should
I've
be able to get
been
it done.
I've kind of been late on my posting too, by the way.
I know, but I didn't worry about it.
I forgot.
I knew you'd get
well,
it
I'm
done.
Doing Wednesday night service at church. I'm like cooking, and then I get home, and I'm like, I don't think about it. Anyway.
Maybe we could talk about changing our times of recording too, like if we recorded on... You know, a Thursday or something, and then that gives me turnaround to we could post. They could go up Monday or Tuesday. We can be flexible.
Whatever. That's a discussion we'll have at our meeting.
Oh, we need to. Have
I know.
A meeting.
I know. We do.
We really do.
Okay,
people. What do you want us to talk about, people?
What?
We've got
we need
things,
some ideas.
Give us some good topics. If there's anything that you know you think would be appropriate for us, any certain kind of recipes that you need to know how to use some kind of crazy ingredient, you can ask Joni. She'll tell you. She'll tell you all about it.
Unless it's squirrel and I ain't doing that.
No, apparently she knows about that too.
I know a little bit.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, so listen, what are you giving up for Lent? I wish I could see the face she's making at me. Oh, wait. Okay, go ahead. Because you've given up.
I've already given up everything.
You've given up a lot of stuff for this whole 30. So I want to backtrack here a little bit. You've added in, what have you added back in? Because your 30 days are over.
Alcohol.
Okay. And how did that work for you?
It was fun. That's literally the only thing I've added.
Okay.
And honestly, I'm kind of good with just adding that. Like, I don't really miss... the other stuff very much. Okay. I'll be real. I mean, a little bit, but not, it's going, it went fine. I took it slow and steady the first evening. I didn't do a big Southern pour in my glass. I just did a regular, you know, amount. And it was fine. And I've had no, you know, I was trying to see, like, does it make me feel, it probably.
So you didn't pull a Donna?
No, I didn't. I didn't do the full Donna, like go to my friend's house and like throw it back. No, I did not do that. I heeded her experience and her advice. I did. I was like, you know, she's got a really good point. So I did that, and really I just kind of decided, like, the weekends, that's mm-hmm. good. And then during the week, I just kind of go back to my kombucha okay. and just to kind of keep things yeah. in check a little yeah. bit. But yeah, that's really all I've added back in.
Okay.
So sad.
I will say this one time, I gave up red meat for Lent.
Uh-huh.
And I really felt a lot better. Okay. And so I thought, so Easter came and I thought, you know, I'm just going to keep mm-hmm. not eating red meat.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, and it had been a while, but a friend yeah. of mine invited me over for dinner, and they weren't, I don't want to say they were poor, but it, you know, they struggled, and her dad cooked steaks. He grilled steaks. So
oh, wow.
that Fancy. Was a huge, you know, yeah. that's a huge thing. Well, I wasn't about to say, oh, I'm sorry, I don't eat red
right.
meat, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So I ate that steak and my goodness, it was delicious. I'm just going to tell you, it was so good.
Like, this is the best. They really is, thought they had done yeah. well. They were yes. like, wow, she loves that steak.
But then later that night, I was like an old drunk sitting around, you know, the porcelain throne. I was hanging on, vomiting
it
my
made
guts
you sick?
Up. Oh, I was, deathly ill. And I was sitting there going, God, if you please just let me live through this, I will never eat red meat again.
You lied.
I lied.
Lord.
I lied.
You
to
lied.
The Lord.
You did a yep. bargain with the Lord. Yep. And now.
And then I lied. Cause, yep. And maybe that's why I'm sick right now. I don't know.
No,
but no.
No.
Jeez. Yeah. Oh, I was so sick. Ugh. I was so sick. But I didn't dare when I walked in, they were grilling steaks. Oh, I would not have dared said.
No.
Mm-mm. Sorry, people.
What if it had been squirrel soup? Would you have, or a possum with the tail still on it? On
oh,
a big
stop.
Pan in the middle.
Stop.
And its little
the head
teeth.
Still.
Its little teeth.
Little apple in its mouth.
Which, listen, that reminds me. Oh, my goodness. When Thatcher, so I don't, whenever it was, a couple, they were back, they were still in college. When Thatcher and Jess, Jess's family invited Thatcher to go with them to Peru over Christmas. Way a few years back, and which was super exciting and all that business. So they went, so they were gone over Christmas, but one of the things that they eat in Peru are guinea pigs. They're native. They run around there like bunnies and squirrels do here. That's where they come from. Mm-hmm. And they eat them. And sure enough, he sent this picture. Joni, did I show you that picture? I don't know if
no.
I did. He
no.
sent this picture of this little roasted guinea pig. I want to say it was on a It might have been on a... No, I don't think it was on a stick.
It's an entire gopher village.
Listen. It's an entire gopher village. Anyway, he sent this picture. And I mean, it's like roasted and stuff. But it's yeah. got its head and its
yes,
little mouth
yeah.
was doing this.
Uh-uh.
And
oh,
I was
I
like...
Can't do it.
You could
yeah.
see its little mouth open. And I was like... And he uh-uh. sent it a purpose to freak us
of
out.
Of course
and,
he did.
And Avery and I were like... triggered. We were not having it. We were like,
so my granddaddy loved fish. He was a big fisherman.
Yeah.
You know, so, and he would have all these events that he would have to go to with his business and all this. So we were at, I don't remember where we were because I was a little girl, but it was a 5-star restaurant. I mean, we are in formal attire.
Mm-hmm.
They come out. Now keep in mind, I grew up on the Tennessee River. I mean, it is some fried catfish.
Mm-hmm.
We eat fried catfish. That was probably the only fish I ever ate, mm-hmm. fried catfish.
Yeah. So the head is off and it's shredded and it's all, yeah.
Yep. Well, we go. So we're in this restaurant. My granddaddy orders rainbow trout. Well, they Ooh. Come, you know, and it's got the silver dome on it and all of this. And the waiter takes that silver dome off and I stand up in my chair and I scream at the top of my lungs, "Oh, it's got eyes." I'll never forget it. I remember it just.
I'm sure clear. No one else will ever forget
and
it.
And my mother was about to have a heart attack, and my granddaddy was just laughing, you know. But
oh,
that, I was horrified.
That is traumatic if you don't know that's coming. Like, yes. It's better to even just have it come out on the tray and you can kind of sort of prep your Lego. But the eyes, I agree with you. That is not, there's no reason to keep those eyeballs up in there.
No.
But let us just say from that story, now you can see why your
yes.
sons, do you understand?
I do. Why okay. was possessed?
What because you just stood up on that chair in that place and had a come apart about the eyeballs. So,
yeah. Yep.
I love it.
I did. I'll never forget it. I can't even tell you what I was wearing.
What were you wearing?
Little white gown, little white dress. Had a yellow sash around it.
You were precious. Yeah,
it was long. I mean, it was a formal deal.
And you ruined the whole thing.
And I screamed. Yeah.
It's got eyes. I bet it was precious. I mean, your granddaddy did.
Oh, my mother about had a stroke.
I'm sure. Yeah. See, you're just getting payback.
Yeah. My granddaddy laughed. Yeah.
Your granddaddy. Oh, I love him. Okay. What else? Okay. I do have a couple of presidential book recommendations. Okay. They're all by the same author because he's my favorite. And I need to probably branch out and read some other books by other presidential books by people. But anyway, so they are all by David McCullough, who is my favorite kind of historical author. I love him. His writing is the reason I really like it. The books are really, in depth and wonderfully written, but they're easy to read. They read like a novel, they're
instead
just very,
John Vonderbrugge.
Exactly. They're not these big, dry, just filled with facts. They're definitely very easy to read, very engaging. So he's written many, many books. I have a ton of them because I love his works. But the three kind of presidential ones that I love, of course, are John Adams, which many people have heard of. And it's one of his most popular ones. I think HBO had a series they made of that many years ago. It's excellent. Just again, you think John Adams, like who cares? It's so long ago. But it's fascinating, and all his travels he did during the Revolution to raise money to do so that we could get help, so that the hardships of the time. It's very well done.
Well, you learn from him. That's why history is so important, and why it doesn't need to be left out of curriculums, because you learn from it. I mean,
absolutely.
History is ugly a lot of times. It's not all pretty, but it's the takeaway. It's okay. What did we learn from this?
Yeah. And the thing, the learning for the good, the bad, what to not do, what to, what we're glad we don't do anymore, what we wish, but also just to see the strife of it all. Like, and I'll throw this one into the kind of complimentary book to the John Adams one he wrote was also 1776. And he wrote that one as well. And that's about the Revolutionary War. It focuses more on the Revolutionary War and Washington and all that, whereas John Adams is more the political kind of his life and then the political side of it. So both together are, but I mean, you read them in July in this little, Independence Hall and wherever, in sweaty in the colony, whatever were they called, the Constitutional Convention or whatever they were called, representatives, and they're just sweating and they're in these and their disease is spreading all over. So people are leaving the towns and people are getting inoculated for smallpox and are their wives going to live and they're running the farm. I mean, it is a lot. Yeah. It is a lot. And you just really, he makes the sea voyage across the Atlantic. I think his son went with him. I think John Quincy went with him. I've read it a long time ago, but that was not an easy thing to do.
It's not an easy trip. No.
Abigail didn't know if they were ever going to see him again. He was to go and meet with people to hopefully raise, money and funds because we needed help. And he is off. It's not like today where you get your little rolling luggage and you hop on the plane. Yeah.
That's what always strikes me. That just so amazing about the, all I can think is pioneers. That's not the pilgrims.
Yeah.
I mean, but
well, both
coming to, but coming to, I mean, how many of them lost their life and they knew that it was a strong possibility and yet they believed in it so much. And, if I had to jump a plane knowing that, hey, it's a good possibility this plane is going to go down. I don't know that I would do it, but they're just stubbornness. Not stubbornness is not the word, but their drive to
Their determination and their
determination.
And their
hardiness. Thank you. Yes.
Just perseverance, really. I mean, it's kind of what you think about. So it's a great read. I highly recommend it. It's a it's a biggish big book, but again, it reads really. In fact, I may reread it. It's kind of got me thinking I want to reread that. And then another one that he wrote is called Mornings on Horseback, and it is a little bit smaller book, and it is about really the early life of Teddy Roosevelt. So it's not about his presidency. It really ends, I think maybe a titch into it. I can't remember. Again, it's been a while. But it's really about his whole upbringing, his family life. And it, again, was fascinating. His family is like on an expedition on the Nile. And, you know, like, what? What are you talking about? And on a boat and all this outdoor stuff and nature and animals. And he was very sickly. I mean, this is, you know, Teddy Roosevelt, who is such a hardy figure, and in the Rough Riders later, and he's in the Cuban-American War.
He may be like one of my favorite presidents.
You would love this book, Joni. I'll bring it down. If you don't get it before I ever see you again. It's fascinating. His whole life and his sicknesses and how they were so concerned about him, and his whole upbringing and his family and the things they did, and then his career in the military. And it is absolutely fascinating. You're like, and then he becomes president. You're like, and after all that, then he was somehow in politics in New York, I think, is where he got his start there.
But that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And he actually is the president too, which I didn't know until I read another book. This has basically become a David McCullough fan podcast now. So just, okay, everyone just deal with it. Teddy Roosevelt, I think when he was president, I want to say this happened during his presidency. It could have been before. I could be getting my facts a little off, but I think it was when he was president. But he, or maybe he was part of the expedition. He helped they were trying to find a route for the Panama Canal, because that wasn't a thing.
Right.
And so it was the big push to explore the dense, horrible, like to try to find a good place, because it's mountainous and it's all this kind of craziness. Yeah. So they were sending expeditions down, and like these people didn't come back. And like, you know, it was no joke down there. Yeah. And these real rugged expeditions to try to find this, you know, path, because whoever was going to be the first to get that done was
going to be the leaders.
It was a big, huge deal to cut off that route all the way around South America. So he wrote a book about that too, which is called Path Between the Seas. It is excellent. It is outstanding. It's all about the building of the Panama Canal. And it's unbelievable. The things these people did, the engineering that went into all this, the politics and the money and all the things that went into it, is fascinating. Okay, last one is probably one of his most famous, but I think he won the Pulitzer for this. It's just called Truman, and it's about Truman.
Are you sure?
I think it's about President Truman.
Okay. Truman.
Who is from Missouri. Whoop, whoop.
In Missouri is he from?
I think he's from over by Kansas City, like Independence. Okay. Yeah, Kansas City area. And again, you know, we all know what we know kind of about Truman, you know. But it's a big book. This is a very big book. But it is absolutely fascinating. And you forget, at least I do, so it's all about his life and all the things, and then his presidency. His presidency, you know, he was president at the end of World War II. He brought, you know, Roosevelt had died, the FDR had died after being in office for reelected four terms. Mm-hmm. And so Truman, I guess, was his vice president, if I'm getting this all correct. So he took over, and he really had to navigate us through the end of, you know, he's the one that made the decision for the bombs, the atomic bomb, you know, all the big stuff, signed the armistice, you know, all that stuff, met with Stalin, met with Hitler, like all this crazy stuff. I think Roosevelt did that as well. But it was Truman, and it's fascinating, of course. So there you go. There's your little history, little presidential. I'm sure I would love recommendations from other people. Anyone who, again, the three of you who are listening, maybe we're up to five. I haven't looked. Tim asked me the other day, he's like, do you know how many people are listening? I'm like, well, I looked a long time ago. And it was quite a, there was a good amount of downloads. Yeah. And yeah. I was surprised. I was like, oh, but I'm like, I haven't looked. And I'm, he's like, Ron, I would think would be all over that. I'm like, he probably, he I know.
He didn't keep up with me.
No.
Ron don't know.
He don't know. And I should know how to do it. And I just, I don't. Look at that. So, but I would love to know, maybe if we'll, maybe I'll put a post or something. Yeah. If other people have good presidential, there's some on LinkedIn that have been really popular that I haven't read. Wasn't there one called, Kearns Goodwin. What's her name? Janet Kern. She's still alive. She's a presidential historian. What, Something of Enemies it was called or something. I'm really doing great. I can't remember. It didn't matter. Anyway, I think there's a couple of really good Lincoln ones that I'd like to get into. So there you go.
Good.
Yeah.
See, I read like biographies on Mark Twain.
Oh.
And you get the presidents.
That would be interesting.
It's a big old honking book, I'm here to tell you.
Oh, yeah. Is it? Who wrote it? Do you know? Or was, I mean.
I don't, but I believe a lot of it is stuff that he wrote about himself that after he died. They pulled out, and it's been a while.
I remember hearing, After they had to wait till like 50 years after he died.
50 years after he died.
That's right.
Yep.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you'll have to give us a little book report when you're done. So. Yeah. You're like, whatever, lady. Okay. Let's see. What about a recipe? And don't say squirrel and don't say anything gross.
I'm not going to do squirrel, but I can do the garlic cheese grits. Because here's the thing. Everybody used to make garlic cheese grits out of the Kraft garlic roll. And then stupid Kraft, they get the big boo.
What is the Kraft garlic roll?
It was a garlic cheese roll. It was a garlic cheese roll. It was
kidding.
In everything. No, I used it in my spinach casserole.
That's a southern thing.
I used it in my garlic cheese grits. And then they quit making it and everybody was like floundering.
Yeah, the whole South broke down.
Yeah, we almost went to war with Kraft.
I bet. Get your guns, guys. Come on.
So I'll put my garlic cheese grit recipe up there. That sounds good. Especially like as we're coming into a season of like bridal brunches and things like that. Mm-hmm. It's a good, that's a good old
brunch, anything, a Sunday, you know, dinner with your Sunday dinner or something that would be really, really good.
Yeah. And it's really simple to do.
Excellent. Ooh, I like that.
Okay. Garlic. You want my top three? Isn't it my week?
It is.
Joni, I remembered.
Ready for your top three.
Top three.
Okay, so here's my thing. I love giving gifts. I love it. And so we have started a secret sisters thing at church, and I'm having much fun.
Oh, I bet you are.
I am. I love it. Now, you know, I'm not real big on receiving. I'm not very good at receiving gifts, but I love shopping for my little secret sister.
That is fun.
And it's kind of pulling me out of that whole, you know, because... Well, you have to. I've lived this boy life for all these years, for 25 years. Yeah. And now I'm kind of getting back into this girly thing.
Yeah. Now you're like, look, and I can get this little whatever, that's cutesy thing.
Yeah. Yep.
That's fun.
That's when I love giving gifts. All right. The next one. And if somebody can help me with this. Bigelow used to make an almond tea.
Yes. Yes, they did.
And I cannot find it anywhere. I cannot find almond tea anywhere. Now, Tavana or somewhere in UB City folk may have it. I don't know. But if anybody knows where I can get almond tea.
I would love that too. I was it called like Almond Delight or Almond?
Something like that.
It was
Almond
was it
Sunset or.
Or was it the Celestial Season?
I don't think it was. I think it was Bigelow.
Okay.
No, but I'm not sure.
I even looked the other day because or several weeks or months ago, because I think you kind of mentioned it. And I was like, oh, almond. Yeah, I forgot about that. I loved that tea. Okay.
Yep.
I'm on it. I'm going to look.
And my next thing, Holly, is Little Goose.
Y'all, she loves the Little Goose. She and throw down those little goose.
Yep, little goose. If you don't know what they are,
they're good.
It's a baby goo goo cluster. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what a goo goo cluster is, then you need to get yourself down to the south.
Or where else could you go to buy your
Cracker Barrel?
You just get to the Cracker Barrel.
Go to the Cracker Barrel.
It always comes down to the Cracker Barrel.
Remember that time we went to the Cracker Barrel on a road trip and they didn't have a little goose and I had like a meltdown?
You did. We literally were sitting in, we stopped at the Cracker Barrel to eat and did whatever. And that's where you had gotten them before because they're not everywhere. The little goose, the goo goo clusters are, which are bigger, but the little goose are small, which is quite nice.
Yes.
And you literally would not stop talking about those dang little goose the whole time. So we were like, okay, we'll get some. They are really yummy. And you're right. They didn't have them. And we were sitting waiting for our meal. And you literally put I think I took a picture of you. You have your head down.
I was just upset.
You were so depressed. I was like, oh, I think we had to stop at another one to get them.
Yeah. Little goose. Because the big goo goo clusters.
It's too much.
I mean, but it's too much. It's too sweet. It's too.
These are just like two bites worth or one if you just pop the whole thing in. But yeah. Yeah, they're very good, actually.
Yeah. If I recall, you ate mine. And
I did. I
got tickled and chocolate was running out your mouth, too.
You almost choked me. I almost died because of an incident to be told at some time in some place.
Years later.
Yes.
Years down the road. 50 years after we died.
Yeah, 50 years after we died.
We can tell that story.
I did. I thought I almost choked on a little goo, so... There you go. Yeah. Those are good ones. That almond tea, though, now I'm really going to be on a mission about that.
I do.
We don't have Teavana anymore. Teavana, the stores are gone. I think you can order online, but we don't have.
I don't know, but I need some almond tea.
We have a little place in town here that I get the Christmas coffee from, Cornucopia, in Kirkwood. All you St. Louis people probably know about it. It's a wonderful kitchen kind of store, and they have loose leaf tea in these big jars. And I wonder, because some you might try to like amaretto, because some of them might call amaretto tea,
right?
You know, so maybe, but I remember that almond. I can taste it right now.
Oh, it was so good. I know. And I've been drinking all this tea while I've been sick.
Yeah.
And all I can think is, oh, I wish I had that almond.
All right. If I find some, I'll send it to you.
Okay.
And I'll send some to me too.
Because we don't have any at the Piggly Wiggly.
I know. Sorry. Or the Walmart. I can almost picture the packaging. Okay. Crowdsource. You guys help us out. Megan update. I don't have Megan the Turtle update. I did check. She's kind of moved a little bit out from the crowded area where she was like in before, but she is still in the Ana Maria Gulf in south of Cuba. So that's all I know about that.
Okay.
Nothing's changed there.
Okay.
Did you like my top three little jingle? Have you heard it? Have you listened to
I don't think I did. Yes, I did. I did like that.
Did you see how fancy we
are? Oh, that was something different.
That was new.
Look at you go.
I know.
Yep.
Just want people to realize how professional we are.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I sit here in my pajamas tea.
Yeah. Listen, nobody needs to know. It's fine. We're not on YouTube. One of these days, I know Rhonda said we should do it on YouTube. You know, a lot of podcasters now release their, but listen.
Listen.
That's a lot. Those people have are made up and they've got a cute background and they're like, oh, we're podcasting. And I'm like.
The sun's not shining in their face.
I know. Listen, I got the glow of the death glow over there. And oh my goodness sakes. I think that's all I got.
Okay.
You got anything else?
Episode 26 in the books.
That's right.
No, I'm going to go lay down.
Good. Go lay down. I've got to cook some chicken and some Brussels sprouts and feed these people because they gosh darn it want to eat again.
I know. Ugh.
It's maddening.
It's terrible.
All right. We will talk to you guys next week. Hope you have a great week. Hope you have a great weekend coming up. And we will see you next time. Goodbye, cornbread.
See you, corn dog. I am.
I thought I lost you forever.
I'm telling you.
I may need to update it. It wants me to update it, but then I tried to update it and was like, can't do it. Try later. I'm like, you know what? Look, we're twinsies.
Are we? I've got on pajamas.
Well,
Is yours a dress?
I do have a bra on, so it's a dress. A shirt. No, it's a shirt, but it's pink.
Oh, it's a shirt.
Did you see it's pink?
Oh, mine's kind of orange. Mine's coral.
Look, I just wanted you to know I was wearing pink.
Okay.